This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome on in to another episode of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another week here to detail a little bit on the Phillies offseason that's coming up. Some free agents that I would like the Phillies to kind of have their eye on, ways that they can improve the club. We'll touch on a little bit of that as well as the World Series matchup that's going on right now and some similarities that I saw between the Phillies this year and the Mets, who obviously were just eliminated, but as well as the Phillies and the two teams that are currently in the World Series, the Yankees, the Dodgers, how the Phillies relate to them, especially in recent history and what's gone on the past couple of years for the Phillies in relation to those two teams. I'll touch on that a little bit as this episode goes on because I do want to make a point that I think will resonate with a lot of people in terms of what's happened with the Phillies, especially this season with Rob Thompson, with the team as a whole, and just how the postseason a lot of times shakes out in Major League Baseball and what's a recipe for success once you do get there. So we'll touch on that, but I mentioned I want to start with some free agents that I want the Phillies to target because I think it's important that we're honest with ourselves in what the Phillies need to do this offseason. And I think a lot of people are honest about the situation with what the Phillies are, with what the Phillies have been for the last couple of years. Maybe not exactly what we wanted them to be, right? We had them on a pedestal. We wanted them to be a certain thing. We believed that they could be a World Series champion, that this could be a team that contends with the roster as currently constructed. But as the last 3 years have showed you, with very little turnover on that roster, they're just plain and simple not a good enough team. They're not good enough to get to where they want to be with the guys that they have currently running out there every single day for them. So there's got to be some sort of free agent that you're going to have to try and bring in. There's going to have to be some guys in the minor league system that you maybe want to bring up. But I don't really know that the Phillies are there yet, especially when it comes to the minor league system. I don't think Justin Crawford is going to be on the scene at any point next year. Dombrowski basically said already that he's not going to have Aiden Miller on the club coming in 2025, he's maybe 2026 for Aiden Miller, who knows? And even when those guys get up there, there's going to be growing pains. It's not like these guys are going to be a shot in the arm and all of a sudden they're going to be catalysts for your team. There's going to be some growing pains. The only guy that I really think will probably be on the opening day roster or will be given the best chance to be on the opening day roster is Andrew Painter, and it's not really breaking any ground in saying that. He was obviously very close to making the roster in 2023 before he ended up needing to get Tommy John surgery. So I think he's the guy that if anybody's coming out of the minor leagues, the farm system this upcoming season, it's going to be Andrew Painter. And it remains to be seen obviously what goes with that. He's pitching in the Arizona Fall League right now. I'm sure he'll get an invite to spring training. We'll see how he progresses. He's still rehabbing and he's still trying to get his way back. He's finally facing live hitters now. So, you know, there's still a long road ahead for Andrew Painter. They're still handling him very cautiously because of the fact that he's so young and they really think he can be a cornerstone of the organization. So he's the only guy that I really think might make an impact when it comes to the Phillies farm system coming up in 2025. So they're going to have to go the free agent route. They're going to have to find somebody out there that's going to want to come and play here, that's going to be able to make a difference, that's not going to be someone who's a platoon bat, someone who plays every couple of days when you've got the lefty pitcher on the mound. And, oh, this guy mashes lefty pitching, but, you know, he's a liability against right-handed pitching or vice versa. That's what the Phillies have had for the last couple of years. That's what Brandon Marsh is. That's what Austin Hayes is slash was. And then you have Rojas, who's another guy who's a platoon in center field who maybe only plays against left-handed pitching, but all of a sudden, because of the other guys not being able to produce or getting injured, he's stuck in and he's playing there every day. The Phillies need to bolster this lineup. They do. Plain, simple, full stop. The Phillies need to bolster this lineup in some way, shape, or form. And in a lot of ways, they need somebody who's going to be able to get on base, somebody who's going to be an average hitter. I know average is kind of an outdated way of looking at how hitters are these days, but that's what the Phillies need. And Trey Turner was supposed to be that, right? Trey Turner was supposed to be the guy that was going to come in. He was going to get on base. He was going to hit for a high average. He was going to provide you something different in a lineup that was full of big boppers. Now, Trey could also hit 30 home runs. He can hit over 25 home runs, whatever. But he was supposed to be that guy that can also get on base and can also hit for a high average. And he did. Look, he hit 295. But I don't think I'm breaking any ground here by saying a lot of people are disgruntled with Trey Turner and the at-bats that he has. And it's not the exact... it's not the kind of guy that you're thinking of when you think of a contact hitter, a guy who's going to be able to get on base. So the Phillies do need to find something like that on the free agent market or in a trade. In some way, they need to, like a Stephen Kwan type of guy, right? Or a Luis, and a Luis Arise is obviously an extreme case of this, but a guy like that, a guy who's going to be able to put bat on ball, a guy who's going to be able to put the ball in play, get on base at a high clip, hit for a high average, score a lot of runs because he'd be hitting at the top of the order. Like, that's something that the Phillies are missing from their lineup. And who is slated to be free agents this year? I'm not sure who the Phillies would even target to go after that to try and fill that void in the offense. But obviously, the number one free agent this offseason is Juan Soto. He hit the insane home run in Game 5 against Cleveland in extra innings. You saw it, you heard it, you watched it, the whole big, you know, the whole thing. You know, I hate to do this. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but let's just get the cat out of the bag right real early here. Juan Soto is not coming to Philadelphia. He's just not. It's not happening. You know, he's the best free agent on the market, no doubt about it. The Phillies should be in on him. The Phillies should try to give him whatever sort of money he would want. I hope John Middleton would open his pocket and give him whatever Juan Soto wants. Does not matter. It just doesn't. I don't think Juan Soto wants to come here. I know that everybody wants to try and make themselves believe that he's got some great relationship with Kevin Long, and that's the kind of guy that he wants to come and have be his hitting. Like, it's just not the case. It's just not. He's not coming here. He's not going to be a guy who's going to uproot, you know, leave New York. If anything, he might stay in New York, but just go to the Mets. But he's not. I find it hard to believe he's leaving the Yankees, especially if they win the World Series this year. You know, he hits the huge home run to get him there. If they win the World Series, he gets his second World Series ring with the Yankees. They're obviously hitting with that dynamic duo of him and Aaron Judge. You know, they don't want to split that up. He doesn't want to split that up. I don't see any way realistically possible that Juan Soto is coming to the Phillies. So let's get that out of our heads now, and let's go to some more realistic options. Because, and by the way, this is on MLB.com. It's written by Mark Feinstein. It's got some of the top 25 free agents that are available in Major League Baseball. And number six on that list is Anthony Santander. Now, Anthony Santander is an outfielder for the Orioles, if you're not sure. He's a switch hitter, so you don't really have to worry necessarily about that platoon aspect, which is one of the reasons why I like him. He can hit from the left side of the plate. He can hit from the right side of the plate. He can hit, like this season, for example, he had 44 home runs. Now, that was an outlier season. Anthony Santander has never hit more than 33 in his career prior to this year, so it's also risky going into a contract year. A guy plays like that. You know, how is he going to play once he finally gets that contract? He already outperformed his career statistics prior to this season, you know, by hitting 44 home runs, driving in 102 runs. Like, he had never done those kinds of things before, but he's been a solid player. And the only drawback that you have with Santander is the fact that he's not the average guy. You know, he's not the on-base guy. He's kind of exactly what this team and what this lineup already has. So I understand why there would be reservations for him. I understand why people would be worried about bringing a guy like this in, because as we see every October, the offense goes cold. Who's to say he wouldn't go cold? And I get it. And he went cold this season for Baltimore. He hit, you know, he's 1-for-8 in the playoffs for Baltimore this year. So I get it. You know, there's reason to be cautious about bringing Anthony Santander in here. But I like the, you know, first off, he would fit a corner outfield spot, which is what the Phillies need. Who knows what's going to happen with Nick Castellanos? I think he's going to stay here. I think he's going to be here for this year. So I would imagine he'd still stay in right field. But you could solve the left fielder kind of issue if you were to bring a guy in like this for a corner outfield spot. And you wouldn't have to worry about platooning people if you know, having essentially two platoons out there in center field and left field was never going to be good enough. And that's what they had with Wilson and with Rojas and with Marsh and with Hayes. Like, you would solve that issue. You would get a guy who could be here every day corner outfielder if Santander were to come here. Again, he did have outlier statistics, right? So he had 44 home runs this year. He drove in 102. He had 102 RBIs. Now, if you go back to 2023, he didn't quite have the season he did this year. Now, he hit for a higher average for 22 points. He was 257 in 23. He was 235, excuse me, in 2024. But his home runs were down and his RBIs were down. He had 28 home runs as opposed to 44. He drove in 95 runs as opposed to 102. That's still good. For a corner outfield position with the lineup that the Phillies currently have, that would still be a boost. That would still be somebody, you know, who would be a big contributor to this lineup. He would really fill out the depth of this lineup and kind of get you a guy in the 5-6, maybe even 7 hole that would be a solid hitter and still be able to produce those kinds of numbers. And by the way, he's doing that at Camden Yards, which obviously had the wall pushed back in left field. So at Citizens Bank, a little bit more hitter friendly. Who knows? Maybe his numbers are a little bit more inflated if he were to come to Philly. And then if you go back even further to 2022, 33 home runs, 89 runs batted in. So the last 3 years, he's hit 33, 28, and 44 home runs. It's a lot of home runs for him in his last 3 years. And then he drove in 89, 95, and 102 runs batted in. So in that department, he's gone up every single year. Who knows? Maybe he's trending upwards. Maybe this is a guy that Dombrowski and company would like to target. It wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy that they want to target. But as far as them actually doing it, remains to be seen. I'm not sure. Now, number 7 and 8 on this list by Mark Feinstein are Pete Alonso and Willy Adames, two guys that I don't think the Phillies will be interested in at all. Pete Alonso, obviously, they've got Bryce Harper there as their first baseman, and Alonso's never coming to the Phillies. And with Trey Turner at shortstop, Willy Adames is essentially not going to be a guy that's going to come here. But what's interesting is number 11 on this list is Cody Bellinger. Now, Cody Bellinger is someone that we were interested in last offseason. He was somebody that we thought the Phillies could potentially go after to try and solidify the center field position. He's, you know, he's a free agent again coming up here in 2025. You know, you can right a wrong of what you didn't do last season when you doubled down and you thought Rojas was going to be good enough to be your everyday center fielder. You know, you can kind of fix that, right? You can kind of right the wrong of 2023/2024 and bring in a guy who could be a much more prevalent contributor to your offense than what you got out of Rojas every day. Now, obviously, Bellinger had that, you know, rough end to his career after he won the MVP with the Dodgers in 2019. He had a rough go of it for the next 3/4 years after that, but really rebounded in 2023 with the Cubs, ended up hitting .307 and had 26 home runs for the Cubs that season. Now, he was injured for a while this season. He wasn't playing every day because of the injury. So he had a little bit of a fall off. He had .266 with a .325 on base, and he only hit 18 home runs this season. But he's still a much better player than anything that the Phillies have currently on their roster to try and fill that position. Maybe even with their farm system, who knows what guys are going to pay off and become, you know, as the offseason rolls around. So Cody Bellinger is an interesting one that I would like the Phillies to be in on. I would like the Phillies to go after, trying, you know, in any way possible, try and fill out this roster by getting guys that are going to make immediate impacts, right? Like, they kind of said in that press conference with Dombrowski and Thompson that they didn't need a star. They weren't going to worry about going out and getting one. And you know, to a certain degree, I think that's a load of BS. I think that they're just trying to make sure that they don't overplay their hand and they're not giving away what their offseason plans are to everybody. But, you know, it does have to worry you to a certain degree that the Phillies are going to kind of stand pat, sit on their hands, not really make a lot of moves of this offseason. And you're going to ultimately wind up with the same roster that you had this year that wasn't good enough now. So it's interesting, you know, and you got to hope Dombrowski is in on some of these guys. And then the last guy on this list that really would fit the mold for the Phillies, and Feinstein even gives him the designation of, you know, the Phillies would be a team that would greatly benefit from signing him, is Jurickson Profar. Now, Jurickson Profar has been around for a long time. He's been in the league since 2013, I believe. You know, he's been there for a long time. He's not somebody, you know, he's 30 years old. He's not a guy who's incredibly young, but neither are the other two guys that we just mentioned. Bellinger, I believe, is 29, and Santander is also 30. So there's, you know, they're not necessarily guys that are real young, but guys that can help you win now, especially for the next couple of years. And Profar, in 158 games this year for San Diego, had an amazing season. 280 batting average, 380 on base. He had an OPS of 839 for a guy who really hadn't had a great career up to this point. You know, he was solid for San Diego a couple of years ago. He ended up signing with Colorado last season, was not good, came back to San Diego and had a pretty solid season for them when he came back there in 2023. Then follows that up with a great 2024 season where he hits 24 home runs, 85 runs batted in. But he also provides some attitude that I think the Phillies could really benefit from. And I know that that's an intangible and not something that really has any direct correlation with how guys play on the field and with how things shake out when you're actually in the heat of a game. But you know, he provides that kind of attitude, that kind of just extra oomph that I think the Phillies would really benefit from. We've seen them just kind of go down like lambs the last three postseasons now where there is no fight, there is no punch back. It's when you get punched in the mouth, you're knocked out, and you're not getting back up. Maybe he's the guy that could change that for you and a guy that could provide a little extra moxie for a team that I really think lacks that and certainly lacked it this season, certainly lacked it at the end of the last two postseasons. And I think Profar could be a guy that can come in here, shake that up. He could play a corner outfield position for you and play it pretty well. And he's a guy that I think the Phillies would greatly benefit from signing. Now, are they going to do it? I don't know. I find it hard to believe he would leave the Padres. He had his best seasons of his career there. I have to imagine he likes playing there. So I'm not sure if I could actually see him, leaving. He's been a West Coast guy his entire MLB career. Who's to say he wants to come over and play on the East Coast? There's a lot of extra things that kind of go into signing the free agents and whatnot. But, he's a guy that I would be all in on the Phillies trying to sign and bring here. And that's kind of, where it ends in terms of free agents that are going to make an immediate impact for the Phillies that I see. Now, you can make trades. You could do other things to try and maneuver your roster. But as far as free agency goes, those are the three guys that I would hope the Phillies are in on at least one of them and trying to bring them to the organization and try and kind of just admit we weren't good enough. We're not going to run it back. We need to try and go outside and get some better guys in here, some guys that are going to help this team because what we have currently constructed is not good enough. And if 3 years doesn't show you that, I don't know what will. So what remains to be seen what the Phillies are going to do this offseason. Those are the guys that I really would be high on the Phillies trying to get. But I want to get to, as I mentioned earlier, there's some similarities both with the Phillies and Mets that just happened, with the Mets getting eliminated, and then also with the two teams that are in the World Series now. And I'm going to be fully transparent here. I am going to contradict myself a little bit, and I understand. But there are two mindsets here, two ways of going about and looking at the Phillies. You can look at it as in one direct aspect here with the Mets. Let's start with the Mets. Now, the Mets were the team of destiny, right? The Phillies were the team of destiny in 2022. It felt like they were, again, the team of destiny in 2023. That's the feeling that the Mets had. The Mets had the rallying cry of OMG. The Phillies had the rallying cry of dancing on my own. There were the teams that were the last wild card in. They didn't win a whole lot of games in the regular season. They, didn't win 90 games. But they get in. They're red hot. They go on the road. They win. They were on the road at the end of the regular season. They have a hectic schedule. They finally get in at the very end of the regular season. They break through in the playoffs. They beat an NL Central team. Phillies beat the Cardinals. Mets obviously beat the Brewers. And then you go on and you steamroll an NL East team in the playoffs. And then you go and, they ran into a buzzsaw around earlier than the Phillies did. Phillies obviously got all the way to the World Series. Mets did not. But it's of the opinion that teams are quote-unquote playing with house money. I don't think that is ever truly a thing. I don't think house money really means anything when people throw that around. It's just kind of word vomit to me. Because if you ask the Phillies fans and you look at what the Mets did this year, that could be your best chance to ever do it. The Mets were good enough to win the World Series this year. They were within two games of getting there. And the way they were playing and the roster that they have and the pitching staff that they have was good enough for them to win the World Series this year. They just ran into a team who was able to be better than them. But if they play kind of how they did, when they came back to Citi Field in the NLCS, they really just kind of fell apart. But if they kept playing at that high level, that hot baseball that they had been playing for the weeks prior, would it shock anybody if they were in the World Series this year? Absolutely not. So yes, they were the fun team. They were the team that was red hot. But sometimes that is your best opportunity to get it done. That is when maybe you didn't have the expectations going in. But as soon as you get into the playoffs, the house money logic is out the window. You are a good enough team to get it done. The Phillies in 22 were a good enough team to get it done. We all wanted to say after the season, They didn't get it done this year, but they're going to be better next year. And now they've got the experience of being there. Now it's going to be different. And this miracle run that we never really truly thought was going to actually end in a World Series, you know, we'll be back next year. They'll be better. They'll be better prepared. They'll be ready. And they're going to win the World Series next year. And then you see exactly what happens. You don't even get back to the World Series that year. You're getting eliminated by Arizona, a game from the World Series. Remains to be seen what's going to happen for the Mets. But the fact of the matter is, when you get that deep into the playoffs, when you get that far, and you are playing that good of baseball, that is your chance to do it. You might never get a better chance than that. And I know that we look back on 2022 likely fondly because of how fun it was and the guys we got to see, you know, the inside of the locker room and the way they interact with each other and the celebrations that we had never seen from this team prior to that. But that was their moment. That was their opportunity to go out and win a World Series. Yes, it would have shocked everybody because no one was expecting a team that hadn't been in the playoffs for 11 seasons to go out and win a World Series in their first postseason run. Similar kind of to the Mets. It's a different core than what they had in 2022. I know they had made the playoffs 2 years ago, but it was a different core. Citi Field and the Mets fans were starving for playoff success. And a lot of times you don't expect that when it's the first time. You're expecting, maybe they'll get bounced in the first round and we're just happy that they got there. But as soon as you start winning and as soon as things start breaking your way and all of a sudden you're getting closer and closer to the World Series, it's hard to look back and say that wasn't our best chance at winning it. You don't know what the future holds when it relates to injuries, when it relates to guys who are playing on your team, guys who leave, guys who come and sign here, how people react when the pressure is truly on them in the postseason. It's all different from year to year. And even though it's fun to look back at 2022, like it'll be fun for Mets fans to look back at 2024, sometimes that's your best chance. And it's a shame to look at it that way, but I think it's just the reality of the matter. Is that 2022 was the Phillies' best chance? You know, 23, they just fall short a round earlier. 2024, they get bounced in the first round by the Mets and look completely non-competitive for a large majority of that series. When the magic is there, you need to ride that magic to a World Series. And I know it's tough to do, but I just think that that's the reality of the situation. And the Mets and the Phillies are kind of the exact same in that aspect. It's weird, the parallels between them, with the fact that they were both just red hot. They were both kind of had a similar path to the World Series, and unfortunately both fell short and weren't able to reach that goal. But then there's the opposite kind of logic for this. And you can decide whichever way you feel in your head is the truth, whether it's like I just mentioned with the Mets and Phillies and that first run being your best opportunity. Or you could look at it this way. And this way also parallels the Phillies a lot. The Dodgers and the Yankees are both in the World Series right now. Yankees missed the playoffs last year. They were eliminated in the ALCS 2 years ago. They were eliminated in the wild card game the year before that. The Yankees, since 2009, have really not had much postseason success. And Aaron Boone being the manager for a large part of that, Yankee fans wanted him gone. And I'm not going to say that that's wrong. You know, Yankee fans were sick and tired of the postseason inability to win games and inability to get to the World Series. And people wanted Boone fired, even though that he had a really good regular season managerial record. It was kind of all thrown out the window once you got to the playoffs. And if you look at the Dodgers and Dave Roberts, now they've got to the World Series three times under Dave Roberts. They've only won it once. It was in the 2020 season. Believe me, every Dodgers fan would love to finally get that off their, you know, off their resume, so to speak, and have this World Series be the one that they can look back on and be, you know, extremely grateful for, rather than the 2021. Because whether or not they want to admit they think it's like a Mickey Mouse COVID ring, whatever, that's how the large majority of people view that World Series. Both of those teams, though, even with the inability, like the Dodgers the last 2 years getting eliminated by division rivals in the NLDS, even though those things happened for those two teams and the postseason success was not there, they kept their managers. They kept Aaron Boone. They kept Dave Roberts. And now look at them. They are in the World Series. So my point is, and those are teams that are perennially in the postseason just seemingly every year. The success might not always be there, but they are always there knocking on the door, trying to find a way to get it open and get into the World Series. So I just mentioned, obviously, that sometimes your best opportunity is when you have that house money, so to speak, how everybody says, even though I don't really believe in that. When you've got that magic, you know, that's your best opportunity. You could also look at it from the respect of the postseason is just, it's just a marathon. You know, if you keep getting there and you keep knocking on the door, eventually it's going to break open and eventually you're going to bust it in and you're going to have a chance to win a World Series. You know, the Dodgers finally got back there with Dave Roberts. The Yankees have finally, for the first time, gotten there with Aaron Boone. He's been their manager for 7 or 8 years now. You know, finally breaking down the door and getting themselves into the dance, into the opportunity to win the World Series. That might be what the Phillies are going to have to do, too. You know, the Phillies have had the inability to win the last two seasons with the NLCS and now the NLDS, and they might lose in the NLDS again next year. But if John Middleton can keep saying, you know, we're not going to stop until we win the World Series, you know, we're not going to stop trying just because we didn't get there, they have that attitude and that mindset. I think that's the right way to go about it, because the more chances you get, the more bites you have at the apple, the more likely you are to finally get the job done and to finally break through. And it might take longer for certain teams. The Yankees, like I said, Aaron Boone's in his 6th or 7th or 8th year as manager, whatever it is. You know, Dave Roberts has been the manager for the Dodgers for, I think, 9 or 10 years now. And he's only won one World Series, had a lot more postseason failure than he has success. But now both teams are in the opportunity and have the chance to win a World Series for the organization. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me, this episode of Phillies Today. Maybe talk a little bit about the World Series come next week. It's starting this Friday. It'll be interesting to watch those two teams battle it out against each other. Obviously, free agency, nothing's going to happen for the Phillies for a little bit now. But look forward to watching the World Series this upcoming week. It's going to be good. It's old rivals, Yankees, Dodgers. Be ready for that. And I'll be back with you guys next week for another episode of Phillies Today. Have a great rest of your week. And enjoy the World Series coming up at the end of the week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.